Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Pinefigley, and Tammy's working the boards and answering the phones. We're going to have Johanna Long coming up and talk about her run in Michigan, freshly repaved. She gave us good detail on that because she ran the whole way, finished the race on the lead lap, and come on to a nice 16th place finish. So she could tell us all about running with all the everybody was breaking track records. I think Marcus Ambrose qualified on the pole for the Cup race at over 203 miles an hour, which makes you wonder what NASCAR is going to do about that. Are they just going to set the stage for it to just wear in and slow down as opposed to throwing restrictor plates on the cars? And, you know, I think with the availability of the cars doing all the speeds that they were doing, they have a penchant for wanting to slow things down. So we'll take your calls a little later on, and hopefully we'll have Johanna in a little bit.
Yep, we actually have her right now, Vince. I'm going to put her through.
Okie doke. I'd like to welcome to the show driver of the ML Motorsports Toyota in the Nationwide Series with a running up at Michigan this past week with an incredible 16th place finish at the newly repaved Michigan International Raceway is Johanna Long. Johanna, welcome back to Garage Talk Live.
How are you?
Good. How are you? You must be pretty excited. Top 20 there. I thought for sure you were going to make it into the top 15, but I guess luck didn't play out the way, the final pit stops and the way things ran that, you went the whole distance. And, tell me about the track. I mean, how was the repaving job and how the tires stick and all that good stuff?
Well, that was my first time at a Michigan International Speedway for sure, and I didn't expect much. You know, I started first practice, and we ended up 30th, first and second practice, and just went back and talked to the crew chief and talked to everybody about the track and to see what I can do better, and went back out, and we finished 19th, and we just ended up a little too tight off exit on both corners, and felt really good about it going into qualifying, and we qualified really decent. We qualified 14th, and you know, that's a really strong qualifying run for ML Motorsports and myself and with the Ford Travel Motor Coach Chevrolet. And I felt really good about going into the race. We ran top 12 pretty much the whole race, which that was really good for us. You know, we were finally on the lead lap and we were racing hard with the guys that we were supposed to race with. And it's been a lot for me to be on the lead lap and race hard with them.
I'll tell you one thing. You had your first rookie season in the Truck Series last year, and making the jump over to the Nationwide Series, did you find the adjustment to be a bit of more of a learning curve, or you feel more comfortable in the cars than you did the trucks?
I actually feel a little bit more comfortable. I feel like the cars are a little bit more stable than the trucks. The trucks move around a little bit more with the air and stuff, so I definitely like the Nationwide cars a little bit better so far.
That's good to see. You seem to be doing pretty good. There's a couple races we didn't see you in. You didn't, I guess, get up to Dover this year. And
It's definitely a work in progress, for sure. You know, it's working with a new team. It's not my family-owned team. They're working, them learning me and what I want in cars. It's different, you know. We're all learning each other, and I feel like we've done a pretty decent job this year. We're getting better each time we go to a racetrack, so I'm really happy with the way it's going.
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, learning the new car and the way it handles at the tracks, there's really, you know, some of the tracks you've been on, it's a whole new ball game the way they ride. And Michigan being just repaved had to be nice going on a track that wasn't bumpy or all that. And, you know, you had a lot of racing room out there.
Exactly. It was a really fun racetrack. It was really smooth. And like I said, I didn't race on the old Michigan, so I really didn't have much to expect. So it was really cool to race on that track. It was one of my favorite ones so far because we ran pretty decent there. So I'm looking forward to going back next year.
So what's the next race you'll be heading to? I know the Nationwide Series heads out to Road America running a road course. And they're going to send you out for that one to get some experience, or are you going to be holding back and wait for another oval run?
Yeah, I'm skipping out on this week, and we only had 21 races, so my next nationwide race is going to be in Kentucky in a week, so I'm looking forward to that. I ran Kentucky in the truck, and I feel really good about it, so it's a fun race, so I'm looking forward to it. But I'm not taking off this weekend. I'm going to go run my late model down Pensacola and Mobile, so I'm looking forward to that, too.
Well, it's a lot of traveling for you. At least you get to head back toward the old homestead and visit everybody.
Exactly. It's always fun to go back home, especially race in front of the hometown fans and race with all those guys. You know, the Bryant family does an awesome job with that racetrack, and it's really fun to go back.
How do you like driving for ML this way? I mean, it takes the burden off the family. You actually just get to drive with the team, and, you know, when they picked you, it seemed like, you know, it was a good move on their part. They are growing, you're growing, and it seems to be working out pretty good because you're getting to run better every time you get up in the, you know, you get on the track and you get to learn new things, and you know it's always, I guess, the hardest thing to do would be pit stops. You got to get used to a new crew, they got to get their timing down, and you feel that's something that maybe would have given you some better track position this past weekend if they were, you know, your stops were maybe a little better?
Well, we're working together, you know. We go down as a team when we go down, and ML Motorsports is doing an awesome job this year. I couldn't thank them enough, and especially this opportunity that I'm given. It means a lot for me, you know. Last year, I didn't think I was going to get but 5 races in the truck series this year, so this is big for me, and I'm really excited for this opportunity, and Miss Mary Louise Miller for giving it to me. It's amazing for me to be 20 years old and already have 2 years in the Nationwide Series already planned out. So I'm really looking forward to it, to keep on going.
That's pretty good. Yeah, being you have a 2-year commitment, so hopefully next year you'll get to run the full season. Instead of getting some races off where they put in a replacement driver. I know, when they came to Dover, Tony Raines was in the car and they didn't qualify, so... You've been on Dover last year, so you know what that track's like, and you know I know Tony's been there, so that's a whole different ballgame when you hit the Monster Mile.
Yeah, for sure. I was really bummed when we missed that race. I was looking forward to it. Dover is an awesome racetrack, and that was one that I was looking forward to, but that wasn't on our schedule. Hopefully we can make it a full season next year to get some of the racetracks that I've missed that I would like to run on.
Well, when the team comes back to Dover and October or late September, are you going to get the call for that one, or you're not getting any Dover this year?
I'm not getting any Dover. That wasn't on our schedule, but the next one is at Kentucky, so I'm looking forward to that, and just keep on our momentum going with ML Motorsports and our team, and I feel like really good about the year.
Well, with Kentucky, you're going back down to a mile and a half, and the speeds won't be quite as fast as they were in Michigan with all that racing room, and but you're used to the mile and a half tracks from last year and some this year, so at least you should have something in the notebook to help you out this time.
Yeah, I already know what the racetrack's about a little bit. It's just going to be different being in the car, but we should be okay. I'm looking forward to it. I felt good about the truck race last year. It kind of cut short, but I'm looking forward to going back and redeeming myself.
And I noticed your fan page on Facebook had a post about a podcast that everybody could check out that you did. You want to plug it on here, or this way when you get done with us, when they get done listening to Garage Talk Live, they got to go check out your podcast.
I sure hope so. You know, we're trying to get big with Twitter and Facebook, so hopefully that everyone will follow along and we can put more of that on there. It's really cool to interact with all the fans, and hopefully everyone's enjoying it.
Well, that's pretty good. We have a team chef that usually listens to us, and he says he wants to come and cook for your team. Is there any – who would he have to contact to get a hold of them? He was at Pocono, and I tell you, he was cooking some filet mignons and stuff like that. So I don't know. It seems like whoever he cooks for gets some good eats at the races.
Our team would definitely not turn that offer down. So you should definitely get up with ML Motorsports on that one, because that would be pretty neat.
Well, that'd be pretty cool. You could check out his Facebook page. It's Foster Chef. And he'll tell him to send it. He'll have him get on, was it ML Motorsports Facebook page and send him or contact the team direct. And who knows, maybe this could work something out. I'll tell you. Between the filet mignons on one day, the pork chop on another day.
Oh, I
know about you and Haley's cooking prowess from what I read.
Yeah, Haley doesn't like my cooking too much. You know, I'm getting a little bit better, but I haven't had time lately, so we've been eating out a lot.
Hey, you're the driver. You're not supposed to be cooking, right?
Yeah, but I'd rather cook than eat her cooking any day.
Well, you know, you when I met you is at Dover last June, not this, well, a year ago. I said, man, it was a year ago. Man, time sure does fly. And you're a great couple of young sisters sticking together, and that's really cool to see, especially as you move up the ladder in your racing career. I know you break each other's cookies a lot back and forth, but you got to admit, it's great having her around sometimes.
It does. You know, even my whole family, all my family go to all my races, and they just been behind me 110% throughout my whole racing career, and it just means a lot. You know, not a lot of people can say that they've gotten me this far, and it means so much for me because without them, I wouldn't be where I am at today.
That's true, and, you know, there's a lot. There's three women drivers that were in the race on Saturday, and you had the highest finish out of all of them. I know another one that gets a lot more media attention, but I'll tell you one thing. They should come spend a lot more time at your hauler because you're doing it the old-fashioned way, from the ground up, and, you know, we'd like to see you get more coverage. I know you've been great coming on Garage Talk Live the past couple of years, and we're glad that we can always have you on. So one of these days, I'm going to be watching you in Victory Lane hoisting that trophy.
I sure hope so. You know, I haven't been in Victory Lane in a very long time. It's actually killing me right now, but, you know, we'll get there. It's just all, it's a work in progress, and hopefully we can start having some better runs, and all that media attention and all that will come once we start running a little bit better.
Yeah, that's for sure. But, you know, the old-fashioned way, you're taking the baby steps, getting used to the car. New team and a new year is always a learning curve there as well. And once you guys get your chemistry and get all in sync there, I think things are going to be happening a lot better than They'll be coming looking for you. So hope you'll be ready for it.
Oh, I'm ready. So hopefully it comes soon. You know, we've been working extremely hard, and this weekend definitely showed our hard work's definitely paying off. We just got to keep it going.
And that's for sure. You know, especially when the team probably could lure some more sponsors after a finish like that. And money buys speed. Everybody knows it. And
That is for sure. You know. Yeah, we're doing really hard. You know, hopefully we can, like you said, get some sponsorships so we can work on the cars a little bit more and get them a little bit better, and also get some so we can get more races on the schedule.
Well, it's always great to have you on, Johanna. I'm sure you'll be coming. We'll have you on again coming down the road soon. Enjoy running in Pensacola this weekend and then your next race in Kentucky. So I'd like to thank you for coming on, and good luck, and it's always a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on again. Let's talk to you soon.
All righty. Take care now. There you have Johanna Long joining us. If you want to give us a call, the number is 646-649-1899. Tammy, busy weekend at Grandview in Bechtelsville, PA this weekend. What do you got for us?
Oh, busy wasn't the word for this weekend. It was a doubleheader weekend. So we got everything going Saturday night. And Saturday night was a special night for the new series that they have every week this year. It's the Sportsman Class. They had a 40-lapper. The winner got $1,500. And it was really nice to see. He's a newcomer, and it was his first win ever for the series and everything like that. So, and we've heard his name. He's been getting up there each week and getting closer and closer. But, you know, he was bound and determined in those last couple laps. He made his way to the front. So Kyle Boerer took home his first win in that class. So not only did he take home a big win, he took home his first win. He took home all the money. And he really had to work hard for it. Brian Hurst looked like he had it locked up. And just the last couple laps, Kyle just started coming on fast. That track was going away quick. And he found the best way around there. So Kyle was the winner for the Sportsman 40 lappers. Brian Hurtler was second. Jared Umpenauer came home third. Craig Whitmoyer was fourth. And Kenny Gilmer, who was last week's winner, came home in fifth. And then the late models were out there again this week. They're one of the regular ones out there. And there was a guy that really got everybody's attention Saturday night. And actually, I'm going to try and track him down this week to do an interview with him. Mikey Kellner was the winner, but everybody's focus was on Steve, and I believe it's pronounced Nederostek is the last name. And he's new this year, and he had that car hooked up and just going strong, and he came out of nowhere. And everybody just kept going, who is that guy? Who is that guy? And it was just, he put on such an incredible run. And honestly, if they would have had a couple more laps, I think he would have taken the win. I think he would have been up there challenging for it and probably taken it. So that was really nice to see somebody new that's just, he's out there dominating. He's just, there, for lack of better words, everybody kept going, who is this guy? You know, where did he learn how to drive like that? So I'm going to have to track him down. We're going to have to find out a little bit more about his racing background because he's a really talented driver up there. Wayne Pifel came home third. Ron Klein came home fourth. And Andy Ressler came home in fifth. He's another one we're going to have to track down and get down on the show too. He's one of the other regulars. And if you go to their website, you can see a view from his car. He has a camera mounted right behind his head, so you can see what it looks like when they're throwing the car sideways out there. Then we go to the 30-lap 358 modifieds. They're the what's considered the top class up at Grandview. And, well, Dwayne Howard, he's super consistent, and I just don't know where he gets the speed and the power and everything from, but he came home again with another win this year. Trying to see if it tells me how many he's had this year because I'm not sure how many total he's had. Sixth win of the year for Dwayne Howard already, and we're not really that many weeks in, and he's already claimed six wins. Chris Esposito was second. John Kellner Sr. was third. Doug Manmiller was fourth, and Keith Brightfield came home in fifth. And some other little miscellaneous awards that they had were all the drivers get the Texas Roadhouse gift certificate when they win for a dinner for two, of course, the other Trexler Town Texas Roadhouse. TP Trailers and Cargo Sales, they all give out some extra goodies and everything like that. The Hard Charger Award went to Dwayne Howard in the 358 Modified feature. He, because he's so high up that he's leading the points and everything, he has to start in the back to come to the front. So that was... you know, I don't know where they're getting the power from. That guy has a lot of talent and a lot of skill. He's been doing it for a long time because I know I've grown up watching him and everything. So we've got to give credit out to him. And his car is lettered by Joey Adams Lettering. And it is a neat car. And when they do some of the weeknight specials, the car is a little bit different too. So let's see. We had Chuck Schutz. He was the hard charger for the late models. And Mark Herman was the hard charger for the sportsman classes. Then we did it all again yesterday for Small Car Sunday. We had, I got to think of all the technical terms for all the cars. There were speedsters there, which are kind of like a sprint car with a little mini wing, and kind of like the wing that you see on the front of the car. Well, it's kind of right above the driver's head, something a little different. And I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head. I didn't get the update of everybody who won yesterday. But they have speedsters. They have 600cc modifieds. There was one of them that came up there yesterday to run. They had the smaller sprints. They had slingshots. And something that if you're looking for something to do on a Sunday afternoon when they're having these small car Sundays, you need to get out there and go have some fun with your family because you're not going to go see racing anywhere else for the price they charge to get in. It's $5. That's it. $5 a person to get in. For an entire afternoon's worth of racing. The gates open at noon, warm-ups and such start like 1:30-ish. The actual races start at 2. And let's see, the first week we were out of there at 7. Yesterday we were out of there right around 5. I mean, you're seeing tons of racing for $5. You know, if you don't want to buy track food, even though the food's not that expensive, pack a cooler. pack a little lunch, bring the family up, $20 get your whole family a four in. That's all. On a Saturday night, this past Saturday night, $20 for one adult. So, you know, you got to come out on a small car Sunday and support these drivers. These drivers are out there working really hard on their cars, getting them ready for these events, and, you know, show these guys some appreciation for what they do. They may not be your modifieds and your late models, but they put on one nice show for everybody to see. I mean, it's great racing. We even had, you know, flips. Everybody was okay, but they crash and wreck just as good as any of the big cars when they do. They have lots and lots of side-by-side close racing action because the cars are really good. They're really close for skill levels and everything like that. So got to get out there for one of them. There's going to be another one coming up in July, and as we get closer, I'm going to let everybody know about some special things that are going to be happening, working on some special events that happen pre-race. So everybody better stay tuned in for that because, yeah, it's neat surprises. And even better, when you come out to Small Car Sunday, you can meet MissRacersRoundtable.com, Trish Heller. And I tell you what, you got to come out to the track and you got to meet her. She is an incredible, sweet woman. She is this year's top girl. She won the competition. We've had some pictures and things like that of her up on the site. So if you haven't seen her yet, go take a look and come on out and meet her in person. I know they're working on some posters and things like that that she's going to have at the event. So come on out and meet Trish. So that's what we had this weekend. Now coming up this coming weekend, we're going to do it all over again. Starting Saturday night, NASCAR 358 Modifieds, Late Models and Sportsmen's. Gates open at 5:30 for the public, and the show starts at 7:30. Warm-ups are normally around 7-ish. They start them a little bit earlier. And then they're going to do a doubleheader again next weekend. Next Sunday is going to be the Neat Series, so it's going to be the Enduro cars and the Vintage cars racing on Sunday. So once again, Grandview is going to be in action, so come on out, support your local track. Grandview Speedway is in Bechtelsville, Pennsylvania, and it is. It's your down-home local NASCAR Weekly Racing Series track. You know, it's just a great place to go have a little bit of fun with the family.
Oh, that sounds good. You were echoing a little bit, and your buffering was a little off there, Tom. I don't know if your Skype is winding you up a bit there, but... sounds like a whole lot of fun, and it was a whole busy weekend. So the one guy came out of the blue, huh?
Yeah, he did. Oh, hold on one sec. I got to go in the other room. We'll be right back.
Oh, we got a caller. Give us a call at 646-649-1899 for your chance to talk about this weekend's Sprint Cup race, our interview with Johanna, or just anything in general about motorsports, whether it was...
I have a caller for you, Vince.
Oh, who would that be?
We have the chef. Hold on one second.
Welcome, Chef Foster Chef, or James Lupo, who is actually at Pocono cooking for a team in the ARCA garage. And I'll tell you, some of the pictures he was posting up. Man, I wish I was there. Boy, I'd be chomping down on one of those filet mignons or them and tasty-looking pork chops. Are you there, Chef?
Yeah, I'm right here with you, man, Vincent. I want to tell you one thing. I had a blast at Pocono. You know, I got blessed. I got to go in and cook for Buster Graham, BCR race team. Them guys were just awesome.
Well, that's good. I put the call out to Johanna. I don't know if you got a chance to hear her. I know you were seriously having some audio problems. It's the only thing about these computers. Well, I have everything up on the podcast that you want to cook for her, and she said give them a contact. It's something they'd be interested in, so.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to cook for Johanna. She's a wonderful driver in the Nationwide Series. And my personal belief is she's a better driver than Danica. You know.
Yeah, she won't go out and wreck the car on her own. I mean, she'll probably have some help. Usually in Saturday's race, you know, Danica comes in with all the hype from the IndyCar series, and her equipment's a whole lot better. And, you know, granted where she was running, she should have had a better finish. But then, of course, two incidents, one with Austin Dillon. Now, it's an issue whether he hit her in the left quarter panel or not. They're saying he took the air off her, and he does that to a lot of people. And the guy a little down the road a little piece that actually they blamed Danica for it, but from what I saw on the replay, he came down and she was there now.
Yeah, that's just nothing but racing. You know, that's the whole idea. A driver's going to come up and he's got a better car than you. Yeah, he's going to take the air off of you and make you get out of the way. But one thing I've noticed, and I thought was kind of odd, especially in Nationwide Series, you got two drivers that are females, Johanna and Danica. Why aren't these two working together? Because they're the minority in the league and work together and take them both to the front. But Danica's all stuck up because she's got Coca-Cola, you know, go daddy, go, I call it slow daddy. But they should be working together, not against each other. But, you know, that's here nor there. That's my personal opinion. And another thing I wanted to say tonight, you know, when we go to watch a Sprint Cup race, we're supposed to be watching the best 43 drivers in the country racing. But we don't get to watch 43 drivers race because we got a bunch of thing in there called starting parks.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, it's really bad because there's people that want to qualify, that want to run that whole race, and they can't get in because of starting parks, usually. But, you know, I think, you know, NASCAR ought to make a thing out there that says, listen, if you're going to do starting park, at least run half the race instead of, you know, because don't even put it on line. Well, so-and-so is going to go out there and drive. He's going to drive a couple of laps, and then he's going to take it to the garage because he's going to have either engine problems or a vibration or, you know, just all kinds of stupid stuff. And like, we already know that's going to happen. But to watch, I would rather see 43 drivers out there, at least driving all of them through the halfway point, and see where it goes from there instead of the starting parks. And starting parks have been, I know they've been around for a while. Matter of fact, I cooked for a starting park. It was called MSRP. It was Randy Humphries and Phil Parsons. And, you know, go up there, you know. Sometimes both cars would make it. Sometimes only one car would make it. But, you know, what's the whole point of doing all that work to make qualifying, and then you're going to run a lap or two?
Yeah, I mean, I would think the money that you make for finishing that far back is will that even cover the cost of your trip and your tires? I mean, do these teams actually make any money doing that?
Well, starting parks don't buy tires. They just use the same tires, you know, that they qualified with. And, you know, they have to have a pit box on pit road to race. But as soon as the race starts, you know, they take those pit boxes back to the hauler. But it's just like I said, we should be watching 43 of the best racers in the country out there. But we're not watching 43 of the best.
Yeah, if you're lucky, you're getting 38 of the best.
Yeah, about maybe 37, 36. And, you know, I'll even hats off to Waddell Jr. this weekend for finally breaking that losing streak, you know, 143 races and not win. You know, I've met Jr. He's a great guy. I'm glad he finally got a win. And, you know, I know he's knocking on the door of the top spot in Sprint Cup. And, you know, I just hope he can keep the momentum up.
Well, I think of it as he had, what, 7 second-place finishes this year. I mean,
yeah, it's great. He's got consistency. You know, he's got Steve Letard as his crew chief, you know. And Steve's a pretty good guy. He knows what he's doing on top of that box, you know. Things may not have worked everything perfect with him and Jeff, but once Rick made that switch, you know, he's got a great team under him, got a bunch of great guys on his pit crew. That's another thing, too. When No, I did this ARCA team in Pocono. They had a couple of guys come over that actually were from Jane Finch's team that helped pit Buster Graham. And these guys are really good and really cool.
That's pretty good when that. I remember when I was at Dover for, I guess, last September in the K&N series, one of the local guys down there, C.J. Faison, he had a car from Junior's team. He had Gordon's pit crew pitting him, Mark Martin's spot. And, you know, I mean, to be able to do that for a race, you know, the guy wants to run good and run up front. And, you know, when you have people that are willing to help you out, coming from another team in the top-tier series to do that, you know, of course, you know, they want to get paid for it, but still, you know, you have a better group of people surrounding you. If you got that kind of a pit crew pit in your car, your stops are going to be better than, you know, other teams because these guys are experienced at performing at that level.
Yeah, that is very, very true, and these guys did an excellent job. And like I said, I didn't stay for the whole race because I was tired, and I wanted to go home and take a nap. Well, I actually wanted to go to the hotel and take a nap. Matter of fact, we made it back to the hotel, and I told my buddy that was working as my sous chef, I said, I'm just going to take a nap for a couple hours. Wake me up so we can go shopping. We'll go grab a bite to eat. I didn't wake up till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, nothing to find.
He said
a
bomb could have gone off next to me. I would have never heard it.
I'll tell you, I saw the pictures you were posting there, and you know, I thought they were ribeye. Those fillet were so big. Usually, you don't find them that big. So that's why I was asking if you bought the whole if you had the whole tenderloin and lopped it up, because
no, they were already pre-cut and stuff like that, and the deal that I worked out, you know, because they thought I was just going to come back in there and make them hamburgers and hot dogs. Well, when I'm working for a race team, if you want me to cook hamburgers and hot dogs, you pretty much got to break my hands. I shouldn't say that, because I actually did it at Salem when I cooked for Darrell Basham Racing, because we had only, you know, came in to just do one meal for them. But they asked me, to, you know, I'll cook hamburgers and hot dogs, but this team was just too good for me to come in there and give them hamburgers and hot dogs. And I wanted to give them a treat that I knew they didn't get, a whole lot of every week. And, you know, my hat's off to Buster Graham, to Kim, his lovely girlfriend, to Carrie, she's 18 years old and doing PR. She's Howard Bixby's daughter. She knew what she was doing, and really great people to work with. Had a blast. The only thing is, we didn't have a grill brush, and I'm kind of cheap, and I wouldn't buy one, because the guy's dad told me, oh, don't worry about it. We'll take care of the grills when we get back to the shop. But like I said, I had a great time with this team. Had a great time talking to other people in the ARCA series that I know. And like I said, the ARCA series is just as good as watching a Sprint Cup because they do some serious racing. And, you know, they got a bunch of young kids racing all the way down to a bunch of older guys racing.
Yeah, like Frank Kimmel, he's been there forever. Bobby Gearhart's been there forever. I mean,
you know, you got James Hilton. He's, 114? I'm just kidding about that.
Now, he's got to be close to 80, though.
Yeah, because I know that when he races, he can't get in the car himself. They have to pick him up and get him into the car, and when he's done, they got to help him get out of the car. But he still does, you know, that age, to get strapped into a race car and run that fast, the guy's good.
Yeah.
And that's just like my friend of mine, Darrell Basham. You know, he's no spring chicken. But, you know, Darrell, when he gets in that race car, he's ready to race. And Darrell's going to do the best he can with what he's got. And Darrell Basham Racing and their folks, they really, really work hard. and do a great race, you know, for the fans. Everybody does that, Barker. Sean Corr, who's a fine gentleman. You know, I got to see Chris Knight for just a little while. He was going to be heading down to Indiantown because Patrick Shelter's dad had passed away.
Wow.
And Mr. Shelter was one of the finest people you could ever meet. Loved talking about Patrick and loved talking about how good his son was in racing. And, you know, it's a terrible thing to lose a gentleman like that. And but, you know, my heart goes out to the family. Very much great bunch of people.
Now you got to meet Tammy at Pocono. She was there tooling around with her camera getting some pictures.
Yeah,
so you got
to... when I went to go cook for the Air Force, you know, it was, to me, I mean, just go cook, feed them something. We even got comp tickets. We could have gone to race. We were just so tired. We wanted to go home.
Mm.
3 days out of the race is a lot to put on a person. I could do 2 days.
Right.
And it's time for me to go. But I got to meet Tammy. Very, very wonderful young lady. Very professional. And it was just really an honor to meet her. And at the same time, I had people taking pictures of me because I got coined by the U.S. Air Force, which they give you this little coin. And I didn't know it was a big deal.
Yeah, congratulations. I saw that. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I love this little coin. Matter of fact, I got it sitting right beside me. I'm going to put it in a frame eventually. And like I said, I didn't know. People were telling me, says, you know, I had my hat on sideways and the sunglasses. I guess they thought I was trying to be pretend to be a gangster. I wasn't trying to be pretending to be anything. I was just pooped.
Yeah, it's, you know, standing out there in the sun all day is not easy.
Well, no, when we were at the race team, you know, we had a tent over us. But when we cooked out for the Air Force, we were in the sun. And it was hot, but I had a great time. We got everything done. They loved the food. And I thought it was kind of neat, too. I was sitting on the back of the golf cart talking to Sharon Hart Boswell's husband, Shannon, because he was doing stuff. And the fans were coming up taking my picture.
Nice.
I didn't know if maybe they had thought I was Chef Nikki. Of course, I'm better looking. I'm just a little bit fatter than he is. But, you know, I had a great time. Like I said, Tammy Allman is a very, very wonderful lady. It was such an honor to meet her and be able to talk to her.
Yeah, well, I met her at Dover, I think it was in 06.
Yeah, I need to go back to Dover. I've kind of got a bit of a monkey on my back about Dover, and I hope one of these days I can go back in and get that monkey off my back. But I've just had a few too many run-ins at Dover and stuff like that. But, you know, I'll get back there because Dover's a beautiful track. People that run the operations, they do a really good job. And a lot of people don't know that, unless you've actually been on the track, there's not one flat surface on that track.
No, there's not.
It's at an angle all the way around.
Yep.
The only time you're ever going to get flat is when you go into pit road.
Yep.
So, but it's a really nice track, and I really enjoyed it. You know, I really enjoy your show, Garage Talk Live. I think you guys do an excellent job. Unfortunately, I had trouble with the audio tonight, but that's okay because I can hear everything on the phone.
That's good. One thing to know is when we do have the show on podcast, Tammy says there's usually not a problem. So I guess, you know, the way internet speeds go and all that, you're at the mercy of my provider or her provider or your provider trying to listen, especially listening
right.
to the computer. So,
and one thing also I wanted to bring up to you, because I know this concerns another show, you know, because sometimes I do stuff with Burning Rubber Radio. There's a guy out there by the name of Dan Smith. He's really busting his keister. He's going all over Indiana, you know, watching these races, filming these races, and some great, great dirt track racing in Indiana. My hat's off to all those drivers. But Dan, you need to expand because there's 49 other states that have some of the best darn drivers on dirt in the world.
Well, that's just it. You know, if you're in an area, you kind of want, it's easier to cover your own space than going out too far, like Tommy.
Yeah, but
Britain,
I think they ought to branch out and do other states. It's like, there's a guy up here in a racetrack near where I live at called Lebanon Valley Speedway. Super, super dirt track. And there's a guy that runs Modified. His name is Brett Hearn, and he's supposed to be totally awesome.
He is.
Oh, he is. Okay. I haven't seen him race. I was supposed to go to Lebanon Valley last year, but something happened, and the buddy of mine I was going to go with cut his hand real bad and had to go to the ER. But I'm hoping maybe this weekend or the next week I get to Lebanon Valley because I've always wanted to go.
Yeah, Brett should be down here. Actually, I think I get to see him race on my birthday.
What, down there?
Yeah, they come down for traffic jam in July this year.
Well, why don't you send a limo to pick me up and take me down there? I mean, I'm not talking a big, huge stretch limousine.
Oh, that's the only way to
put
go.
Yourself in the car and just put me in the back seat. We'll pretend.
Well, I got the tinted out windows in my car. We could do that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I guess we ought to start a Garage Talk Live network from different states. People that cover their local dirt tracks, they want to call in on the air and promote their event.
I think that would be really, really cool. Now, I had been to a race here in New York. I think it was last October. I went to the Eastern States 200 at the Orange County Fairgrounds Speedway. And, boy, that was some nice racing. That's what actually really hooked me on those Modifieds. I love them.
Yeah, they are fun to watch, especially makes you wonder how they can get all that horsepower to gain any kind of traction on dirt, but they do. And
when they come down them straightaways, they go into the turn, their wheels come off the ground. I mean, it's like watching a ballet because they just whip it around there like it's nothing.
I know. I mean, it's she's got the Grand View up there where I was in New Jersey. They have Bridgeport Speedway down there. Of course, Jersey now has the New Jersey Motorsports Park in Millville, which is a nice road course they opened up a few years ago. They got the Grand Am Series. ARCA comes down here, so there's that. And I'm finally getting my move completed to Virginia. And I'm around the Bristol, Charlotte, Martinsville, and there's another weekly series track about 60 miles called Motor Mile Speedway in Radford. I mean, and then if I wanted to go a little further out, South Boston's not too far.
There's some good races going on in South Boston. I think there's a young man by the name of Garrett Merchant that races at South Boston.
Garrett Merchant?
I think it's Garrett Merchant or something like that.
Well, there's I had Garrett Merchant on, but I think he was up in Pennsylvania. But he might have went to South Boston. You know, some of these people, if they want to advance, have to move to the different areas of the race.
That's true.
And
like I said, you guys got a really great show. I enjoy listening to you. You know, I'm sorry about it because I couldn't hear everything. But that's okay. I heard it on the phone. That was cool enough. And I got to give a shout-out to, I know, one friend of mine that's on here. His name is Tracy Barr. I've never, ever met him in my life, but I understand he was a very, very good gentleman. And I want to say, hey, Tracy, how you doing?
Hey, Tracy, he tunes in. I see him in the chat window.
I was hoping we'd get Floyd Updegrove in there, unless he was hiding. Floyd's a good guy, too.
Yeah, I know. I talk to Floyd usually online, but he likes to hide. He likes to listen, and then he always comments that it was a pretty decent show. At least one thing we like to be, you know, one of the stipulations that I do when I do this show is I want to be on live. That's why I can talk to the listeners and get the drivers. I could always pre-tape an interview with the drivers, but the main thing is we're on live every Monday night from 8 to whenever, up till 10. I don't think we've got it that far yet, but as we grow, we'll be adding time and we could add days. That's the beauty of this format. You mentioned burning rubber. I had Andy DeLay on last year. He actually called in and gave us an update because he was out of Rockingham, which was great. I told him
Andy DeLay is a really, really super great guy. He's the one that got me to go to Salem. The only thing is that when he paid my round trip, he put it by bus, and I finally had to put a no-bus clause contract. So if you only come to a race, you can't send me by bus.
No bus.
That's just too long. But I met some nice, interesting Amish people on the way back.
Oh, that's true. They don't drive.
It's terrible when you go by bus and you get stuck in, the state of Ohio is a beautiful state, wonderful people, but I really didn't want to spend 11 and a half hours waiting in bus stations to catch my next bus.
Yeah, that's the only problem. What you need to do is get an RV.
Yeah, well, I'd love to have an RV, but I don't drive anymore because of my disabilities. That's why I take people along with me to races. And like my last race at ARCA, really great friend from my church went. Best kid in the world. You know, he not only drove me everywhere, he was there when I needed him, and he helped me out quite a bit. And, you know, I really like it. Now, I did have one a few years ago. I took him with me, and I was doing some cooking for JD Motorsports. What I did know is he got a job with JD Motorsports, and then he decided to take off and leave me in Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
His name is Ricky Garcia. I don't know if he still works for JD Motorsports or who he's working for. I know he's still racing, but, that's here and there. Things happen. Not a biggie or anything like that. You know, but still, I love y'all's show. And I hope there's a way I can get in touch with Joanna, because Nationwide does race here in Watkins Glen.
That's true.
That would be a great race to cook for. I'm still waiting to see if I can be blessed and have the opportunity to go back to Pocono back in August. And, I'd love to cook for Buster Graham and BCR again, because they were wonderful people. But I've also cooked for Daryl Basham. And they're a really great, wonderful team also. And I just enjoyed the ARCA, because it's ARCA's kind of like Nationwide Series. It's laid back. You get to know people. You get to talk with people. And they're just wonderful.
Yeah, that's true. For some reason, I think even the Truck Series is pretty much the same way as well.
Yeah, I would love to do a truck race, because the last one I did is right before I got sick, and I had went to Martinsville with Rick Ware Racing, and we had Ken Brown in the truck. Very fine gentleman, very professional again, but there was some miscommunication, so I thought we were going to cook up by the hauler, but I ended up borrowing somebody else's grill and actually cooking right by the pit wall. I could look over and see the cup cars going through tech.
Wow.
So, but I want to thank y'all for letting me be on your show tonight, and you both are very, very wonderful, and I hope, Vincent, you find you a nice place down in Virginia to live.
I already got the place.
Oh, you did? Well, that's good, because I got a friend here that I hadn't seen her until today in 23, 24 years. She knew my ex-wife. Too bad she's already married, because she's still a beautiful woman. But they bought a home in Stuart, Virginia, so they're all close to racing, because she's a big, huge race fan.
Well, you were telling me, and I'm down in a little town called Bastion, right on I-77 between Whitville and Bluefield, right smack in the middle there.
Well, that's a nice area. Well, she's done already met Leonard Wood and became good friends with everybody on the Wood Brothers team.
Maybe we'll try to get one of them on. Maybe
that would be pretty cool. Matter of fact, she told me that if I get a team to go back to Pocono, that she told me today, I'm going with you. I says, wait a minute, you live downstate, You got to come pick me up, then take me back to the racetrack. Got to be there early. I said, wait a minute, you're married. I don't go with married women nowhere.
Hey.
Well, I will. I'm just kidding. Just to mess with her. But listen, I'm going to go on out of here and let y'all do the rest of your show. And thank you very, very much for having me. Y'all both are very, very wonderful folks. You do a great show. And I enjoy being a guest on your show.
Hey, just even if you call in with a question, you know, glad you're listening. And if you want to give any feedback on the race, you can always do that. Or our chat window, if you look. Our man Kyle out there put the link to Johanna Long's official page. So if you want to get in contact with that, ML Motorsports also has a Facebook page. So I told Johanna about you, so she would appreciate it if you contacted the team, and who knows?
Yeah, when I something come up, I can cook for him at Watkins, or I can go down and cook for him at Dover. No bigger than me. They'll get excellent food, and
just it, Johanna,
that's an easy price. They won't even believe it.
Well, Johanna's not doing Dover this year. She, as a matter of fact, Timmy Raines got the call. He didn't even make the race.
Oh, see, so, I didn't know that. So, but she's a great driver. She needs to just stick in there. I know things are tough, you know, out there for everybody, especially with sponsorships and stuff like that. But you know, even if you have to go out and run a race without a sponsor, I know it's very, very hard. But like I said, she's a better driver than Danica, and she deserves to be in the top 10, at least in my book.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, you know, with an underfunded team like that, to do as good as she's doing, that says something.
Right. That is very, very true. Listen, I'm going to get on out of here because I'm going to go make me some supper. And thank you. God bless both of you for letting me be a part of your show.
Anytime, Chef. Chef James Lupo, the Foster Chef, cooking his way into your hearts at Tracks Anywhere.
Thank you very much.
All right. You have a good one.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was, Tammy, I've been watching this chat window go nuts. I know, give a shout-out to all our friends at NBS Racing Blog out there and the Bump and Run crew, who I posted the link on as well. Hopefully they're tuned in. No, Tracy, one of our listeners, I didn't call you a bastion. I said that's where I live. But if you want me to, I will. But you're a sheriff, so I'm going to watch. Maybe I'll give you my license plate. So hopefully if I come tooling through Canada at $120, that I won't get hauled off into jail. I know about them. I heard about them southern jails. But, it was great having the chef on. You got to meet. That's pretty cool, getting that medal at Pocono for cooking for the Air Force. That's something.
And it's a huge honor, and it was really nice to see it. I was just so happy to be there to see him get presented with it. So it was just really cool. I mean, the guys, all the ones that were there from the Air Force, just so appreciative of what he did for them and for the cooking, everything he did. Just, he was just so sweet and so friendly to everybody, and it just made their weekend even nicer.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I told you when I talked to you, you said you didn't get a chance to eat much. I said, you should stop by there and give me one of them filet mignons. They look good. Anyway,
yeah, the next time he's cooking, I'm going to be hunting him down for one of those filet mignons.
Well, you have to see what he brings, too. So, and each team, it depends on what the setup was. He felt like cooking something better than burgers for him, so he gave him filet mignon and some tasty-looking pork chops. But Dale Jr. did break the ice finally. He led 95 times for 95 laps. So he took home all the bonus points this weekend, and that inched him within 4 points of his old buddy Matt Kenseth in the points lead. Now, he's got that win under his belt, which helps for seeding. So, and I remember at one time his father, Dale Sr., said, if you can't win, second and third him to death.
That's right. Consistency is what matters. I mean, you don't even have to win a race. As long as you're consistent, that's all it takes. You know, I've known a couple drivers that have won their championships without winning a single race. You know, and I've done it on the bike. A good friend of mine's done it in the late miles up at Grandview. They call him Mr. Consistency up there, John Geisler. He's done it without a single feature win all year. You know, it's very possible, and you can do it, especially with this point system. What they're running now is really similar to how Granby breaks it down with that one-point difference. So it's possible.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, all he's got to do is finish ahead of Kenseth within the next race or so. And, you know, Biffle is, 13 points behind. So, I figured it was going to be a good run for the Fords considering where they qualified. And, I mean, you know, plus have 19 guys break the track record. That was something, too. They're all turning, you know, they're turning speeds over 200 miles an hour in qualifying, and you haven't seen that on a Sprint Cup event in quite some time.
Right, and a lot of people were debating that, too, and they were all asking the question, are they going to slow them down? Well, I guess you're going to have to wait and see what they do at the next track. If it's just that one track they're qualifying at, what you qualify at is normally always going to be faster than what you're going to have for race speeds. Because with race speeds, you've got everybody out there. You can't go as fast as you want to go because everybody's going to be all bunched up. When in qualifying, you're out there just for that sole intention of running the fastest lap possible.
Yeah, I'm trying to see who had the fastest lap of the race. But I know it was at one point, I think they had it at, I think Stewart had it. He was up in the 210s. But, you know, you get in a draft, you can do that. Michigan being such a big, wide track, they were never restricted before. So the fact that the track's going to slow down as it wears in might keep them from doing that again. Of course, they do go back to Michigan a little later on in the year, and you know, it's great to see, you know, Pocono's repaved, Michigan's repaved now. And, of course, it gets the speeds up, and the fans kind of like it when they see them big numbers on the board.
Oh, so they do. And I'm sure you're right. It's something that everybody wants to see.
So, it's... Even if it is for just qualifying, it's good to see. But I think Dale Jr., who knows, you know, how long was it before Jimmy Johnson won a race this year? Of course, he's been winning a lot the past few years, but he got Rick Hendrick's 200th Sprint Cup win. And then he's been running good ever since. I mean, okay, now he finished fifth. Of course, Tony Stewart finished second. Kenseth was third. Biffle fourth, like I said, Johnson was fifth, Gordon sixth, seventh was Boyer, Juan Pablo Montoya was eighth, Ambrose was ninth, Harvick was tenth. You got two Roush Fords in the top ten. You have three of the Hendrick cars in the top ten. And, you know, Stewart, he runs well there. I thought it was going to set up to be a mileage race, but I'm sure glad it didn't turn out that way. And but it was a quick race, green flag pit stops, where it seemed to be the rule. There were 8 cautions for 39 laps. And a couple of, you know, there was an early wreck, I guess, to set the tone. But outside of that, there was a lot of green flag racing in between. I think the last caution came out of lap 132, lasted for 8 laps, and they were green for the last 60 laps. Of course, final pit stops were 2 tires and fuel, and I think the difference that cost might have cost Tony Stewart the win was he lost a little more time in the pits, and Junior had a better stop, one of the two. I think the gas can, the way it's set up, where you have to wait for it to kick back into the can, might make a difference, and Tony might have needed to take another second's worth of gas that cost him spots on the track, because they came in together. Tammy, anybody there?
Yeah, I'm still here. You were breaking up a little bit.
Oh, that was my turn to break up. Okay.
It was your turn to break up.
Okay. We're breaking up. I'll repeat that. And that's the thing with the, I guess the internet's buffering a little slow tonight for on the listener end. Because,
It could be. I don't know. You said you're also in New Jersey this weekend, too, and you don't always have the greatest of signal there.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm doing it the same way I do with either location. I'm running on pardon the expression, that excrement-finity system. But anyway, it does allow me to do some things that I don't, normally do. But it was overall a decent race. Hopefully, Junior can parlay a couple more wins after that, because the wins help you in the chase seeding, and that's, if you looked at it right now, Johnson, Hamlin, Stewart, Keselowski would all be seated ahead of Junior, even though they're leading the points right now when things reset in September for the first race in the chase.
Right, but I think this is something that the team really needed with Junior's win and everything. I think it's going to give them that momentum and that push that they were looking for and that excitement back, because no matter what anybody says, there's nothing you can do to help overcome the blahness that just comes from, the bad streaks, for lack of better terms. Even though he was, having consistent finishes, he wasn't winning, and it's got to be frustrating. And I know hearing the questions the media was asking him over and over again, two weekends in a row, well, how does it affect you seeing your teammates win? And, wouldn't you like you to be in the victory lane and this and that? It's like, now they can finally leave him alone and he can actually focus on what he's doing, because it's almost like they were just, battering with all these questions and everything. It was like rubbing in his face, you haven't won. And it was just horrible to hear how some of the questions were. And I'm sure they weren't meant in that way, but that's how they were coming across. And you could just tell by his demeanor and everything. He's just like, okay, I'm just like, I had enough. And just to see him finally win and overcome this, now let's focus on the bigger picture, Let's focus on him going forward from this point on. Forget about that bad streak and just focus on the good.
That's it. And the thing of it is now, he debuted a new paint scheme this weekend. The black car for Batman the Dark Knight, I guess there's another Batman movie coming out. He helped design the paint scheme. As superstitious as these guys are, I wonder if he's going to keep a black car now for a while.
Or want to have his hand in designing it more often. Maybe that's what he needed. He got to have a little bit of fun, and, he got to do something other than just race and go out and meet the fans, which I know is part of his job, but, okay, he got to design a car. Maybe he really enjoyed that. Maybe that just, gave him some of the positive energy he needed around him. I know if it was me getting in that car, I'd be all excited going, hey, look what I had my hands in creating.
Well, I don't know if I'd take it that in depth. I think, if anything, it's a black car. I wanted a black car. I'll keep it a black car. Daddy drove a black car. He won a lot. That type of deal. I mean, everybody gets on him about, why he hasn't performed and won as much as they feel he should have. But at one time, he was winning a lot of races. He was making the chase. He didn't win a sprint cup, but he's looking to get that back. Now, with Steve Letard a full season, who knows? They got a chemistry going. They understand each other on the track. Consistency's been there. Knocking on the door 7 times, getting in on the 8th, so he might have a run of, who knows, we'll have to wait and see. Of course, we go out to Sonoma this coming week for a road course, which kind of throws things into the mix, but it might not be his week this week, but maybe the week after, when they come back to the ovals. So, but you never know.
You never know, and, it all depends on how he qualifies and everything like that. I mean, I want to say I don't think he's won on a road course race before. But I'm not positive.
Not in the Sprint Cup Series. He did in the Nationwide Series. It might have been the Glen, though.
Right, and I believe it's one of the road course style tracks where he had gotten hurt at also. So.
Yeah, he was driving in one of those road course cars. He did compete in the 24 hours of Daytona with his dad and Tony Stewart back in the day. I mean, he has some road racing experience in the endurance races. He did win a nationwide race at the Glen. So it's not like he doesn't know how to drive there. If they can get the car set up, who knows? I mean, it took Dale Senior a while to win. He finally won at the Glen. You know, I mean, some guys will getting the car right, qualifying up front, track position's a plus coming into the road course as we leave our preview into Sonoma. Save Mar 350 this weekend out at Infineon Raceway. Like that. And give us a call at 646-649-1899 if you want to chime in. And, let's see. So we'll have to make our picks coming up pretty soon on that, too, you know?
Yeah, we do. I already have my idea.
Ah, you already have your idea. Well, the nationwide race, Joey Logano seems on fire in this series. Not like Hamlin was yesterday at Michigan. It was a different kind of fire.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Kurt Busch back in action this week. James Finch put the team up to a vote, keep them or dump them. They voted to keep them. They came up with some good points. I read an article that said, you know, he works with them in the car. He goes out to the bar with them, buys them some drinks. He seems like he's in good with the team. It's just an action that happened off the track or the way he reacts and either after the race in the heat of the battle or in the press conference. I heard what happened with his answer to Pockers, I thought it was kind of funny, actually.
Honestly, I look at it this way. You ask those kind of questions, you should be prepared for those kind of answers. I mean, you and I both heard Tony when the one guy asked him the same question that everybody else kept asking him. If you're going to act like that, you better be prepared for that answer. He didn't hurt him. All he did was tell him words, you know. And if every time a principal disciplined a kid in school because he said he was going to beat him up, that poor principal's office is going to be full of all the kids all day long because everybody says that to each other all the time, you know. And it was just words. It was heat of the moment. He was upset, you know. The same thing goes where you got to give them space. You got to give them a little room. He's not happy. Don't be shoving that recorder in their face and expect them to be happy with you being there.
Especially the way you ask the question, if it's going to... Personally, I didn't see... I heard the video. You know, I listened to the video on the web. I thought it was kind of funny. I said it could have been worse. He could have actually punched him in the face, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, and all he was doing was saying words. And I mean, he was already fired up. If they were paying attention, they would have known he was already fired up by the TV crew, you know, and they were already, you know, firing him up about that. And then why are you going to go ask him a question like that? You really think he's going to honestly say to you, yeah, if I wasn't on probation, I would have gone and, you know, taken him out. You know, hello, they're not going to do that because then NASCAR is going to be watching him even harder.
Yeah, and, you know, personally, if I had done something that dumb and got myself in the situation to where the driver said, gave me that kind of an answer, and NASCAR came to me, you feel like you were being abused, I would have said no. I actually thought it was a pretty funny answer.
Yeah, I mean, you ask that kind of question when the guy's already irritated, be prepared. You know, and that's how I look at it when I go to talk to any of the guys. If they're upset, I'm going to give you space, I'm going to let you cool off, and then if you want to talk, we'll talk. And if not, well, then that's on you.
Yeah, I know. I was in that same press conference with you and me, and when Stewart did that, I was like, I asked a question right before that.
Yeah, I mean, when you're dealing with the drivers, you've gotten to know how they're like, what personalities are and things like that. And you just have to realize that you're setting yourself up for that chance you take if you're going to ask that question that you know is going to irritate them or it's going to make them mad, then you better prepare to take what's going to come out of their mouth.
Yeah. But, you know, that's just something that happens, and that happens. I mean, you know, these are the same people that are there week in and week out, so I guess they might run out of, I don't know if they run out of new things to talk about or what, but, you know.
It's not as much that. In some ways, it's almost like I feel like they're egging them on, you know, and you're trying to get them to cause a fight, and you're trying to get a stir or a rise out of the drivers, and it's just like, is it really worth it? You know, like I saw one of the interviews where they were saying about how, you know, you normally report the news, but now you are the news. He's like, yeah, but I don't want to be in that position. Well, you put yourself in that position.
Yeah. Well, I've had a couple of chances with, you know, interview Kurt. One was up in New York at the ESPN Zone when they had the Chasers up there at the end of the year for a championship week. Once was at McFadden's at Citizens Bank when Dover brought him in for one of those media functions. And last year at Dover when he won there. I mean, you know, it's how you, it's not so much what you ask, but how you ask it.
Right, and like I said, if you think they're not, like, I don't know, I always think about before I ask the question of how would I feel if somebody asked me that question? You know, and if you would think that it's going to irritate you, then it's probably going to irritate them.
Yeah. But, you know, even I'd like to get, maybe, who knows, one of these days, maybe we can get Kurt on and not so much talk about that. But if I bring it up in passing, I said, man, I thought it was a funny answer. I don't know why somebody took it that way. I mean, it could have been worse.
Yeah, exactly.
It was joking around to me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's didn't cause any physical harm to him. He just said words to him.
I know Newman a couple of times answered a question kind of off the, you know, that could have been misconstrued a certain way, and nothing happened to him on it.
Right.
But I guess with Kurt Busch, with the incident with Jerry Punch last year, and which probably that one might have been was uncalled for. But, you know, it's one of those things. Of course, Kurt finishing third in Kyle's car. They seem to have a, I hate to say good chemistry, because not all times family members you work well with. But
true.
Seems to have been doing better in that car than Kyle has. And, you know, James the Butcher, I don't know, that's his nickname they gave him, finished second. Cole Witt. Finished third. Good run for Cole in the 88. Austin Dillon, fifth. Sam Hornus Jr. finished sixth. Good to see Sam run well, because here's a guy, another guy came over from the IndyCar Series, won championships, won the Indy 500. Going to NASCAR, and it's been a little bit of a struggle. He had one full year in Sprint Cup and then a couple of partial years, and now he's relegated to the Nationwide Series, but you know, we'll see what happens when Penske switches the Ford next year and they get some better cars. So it was a good run for Sam. Michael McDowell, 7th. Paul Menard, 8th. Brian Scott, 9th. Brad Keselowski was 10th. Elliott Sadler is a guy running for the points lead. I think he's still in the points lead. Yes, he is. He's 8 points ahead of Austin Dillon now. Ricky Stenhouse, who was leading the points for a bit, having a rough few weeks. Our girl, Johanna Long, finished in 16th, started 14th. I think she was close to the top 10 a couple times. A couple of pit stops put her back, and then, of course, Daniker had a fifth-place start, wound up 18th after spinning twice and getting wrecked on the last one. She's well, to me, she's in a good car. She's just got to learn how to handle traffic around her. I think Johanna's better at that. And that's probably why, I mean, Johanna brought it, her car home in one piece and Danica didn't. But I could have thought, you know, Johanna would have had a better finish, but it just didn't work out that way. You know how sometimes when you get the restarts in the wrong spots and you have to make pit stops, she didn't have the luck or maybe the horsepower to gain a couple spots. Feel bad for TJ. coming home 32nd after losing an engine. What did he tweet? You got a speeding ticket on the way to the airport?
Yeah. It wasn't a good day.
Nah. And there was that one wreck where Jamie Dick ran into Josh Richards. That was a weird wreck. I had a crude comment for it at the time of the race when it happened, but I don't think I could say it here because it's internet radio, but I won't.
Well, who are you picking for this week?
Okay, let's go out to the road race. Anybody wants to give us a call? I'm getting ready to give you all station numbers. I'm too close to the place. 646-649-1899, all our loyal listeners out there. I hope if you want to give us a call, we still got time to hear from you. Who am I picking this week? Okay, Sonoma. Interesting. I don't know, it's a funny racetrack. There's a lot of good road course guys. You want me to go first or you want to go first?
I already know who I'm picking.
Who are you picking?
I'm going Johnson.
You're going Johnson. Uh-huh. I like guys that might shine there, like Ambrose or Montoya. Yeah, you know who actually won the race last year here? Kurt Busch. But he's driving a different car, so I don't know if they have the ability to run that well on a road this year. I think, I don't know. I think Marcus Ambrose, he won last year at the Glen, so I think he'll have a shot at pulling another road course. But I'll go with Marcos this week.
Okay.
Everybody I picked, I've jinxed. So. Sorry, Marcos. So who did I pick last week? Kyle?
I don't remember.
Who's our stat guy? The other Kyle.
Yeah.
Kyle, who did I pick last week? Keep him working.
Yeah, he'll figure it out, I'm sure.
Yeah, by the end of the show.
Oh, wait, no, he wasn't with us last week. He had to work late. He missed us.
You wrote the picks last week. Well,
I think I did.
I think I picked Kyle last week, and he wound up wrecking early.
I picked Newman, so. I don't do so hot picking, so. I think I'm the jinx, too, if I pick you, so I don't know if you want me to pick you to win.
All right, I'll stick with Marcus Ambrose. And, of course, NHRA down in Bristol this past weekend. John Force racing out early. You know, all four of them went out in the first round after qualifying pretty decent, which is pretty, you know, weird.
Yeah, that's not normal for that team.
John Force said the track was pretty bad.
Oh, wow.
If the track is bad, I could understand it. But the funny car event was won by Ron Capps. I think it was his second win in a row. He defeated another lady, Alexis DeJoria. We'll try to get her on. It's her first foray into the Funny Car Series. Her sponsor is Tequila Patron. I like Patron. That's good tequila. It's not like that. It's not like the Cuervo stuff that you find there. You think that's good. You drink a good tequila, you don't get that aftertaste, that bite. It's just nice and smooth.
You had me try that in New York when we were up there for the one luncheon.
I did. Those guys were, once I made the call for it, they were filling me up on that stuff. I'm glad we had to sit down to dinner because I was getting pretty liquored up, and I know I was going to have to interview Jimmy and and had to get Juan Montoya, who was supposed to sit at our table, wound up over there with Jimmy's table. And who I got next to me? Chip Ganassi.
Yeah, but that was a lot of fun. I still remember sitting there with him that day, and I loved when he looked at the food. He goes, "This is what we're eating." He goes, No.
This is what?
He was great with it. He's like, "You want one of each?" "Yeah, she wants one of each of the desserts." I was like, "Okay." He hooked me up.
And then I was like, I said, I had to ask him this. I said, "Mr. Ganassi, with all due respect, who's that driver he had that wrecks all the time? He didn't make the race last week."
Oh, who was it?
Who was it? And I just, and he says, "Don't drive the knife in my heart, why don't you?"
He was a blast to sit with. He's the one we have to get on the show sometime because he was really great to talk with.
He's tough to get on. I tried to get him on right after that. He was out skiing in the Alps or something. And,
yeah, he doesn't sit still.
No. Nah. And I was sitting there, and sitting right next to me, his Indianapolis 500 ring from when Montoya won the race for him.
Yeah, that was a neat day. That was neat to have that opportunity. I kind of sad that they moved everything out to Vegas now, because that was nice to be able to take the bus up there for the day and enjoy some of the activities and stuff in New York.
It was cheaper. Believe it or not, probably cheaper. New York, everything's at a premium.
True.
I don't for moving out there to New York. I see you got me. Am I still crackly?
Yeah, you're still really crackly.
Sounds good in my headphones. I have somebody try to get Sarah Fisher back on. She's now she's an owner now. Yeah, I knew that. We had her when we made the switch. And she's a mom. Her car has been doing pretty good. With Ed Carpenter behind the wheel. So, we'll try to work on some IndyCar drivers. We're going to work on a lot of people, you know that, Tam?
Yeah, we have a lot of people to get on.
We'll have to move the show to a Tuesday if possible. Maybe this way we can get the Cup guys on, the IndyCar people. This way they can have their Mondays and relax a bit. We'll throw that one out there. Anybody think we should move the show to Tuesday nights? Give us a holler. Either hit us.
Turn Monday night into the dirt track at night and Tuesday night into Cup and Nationwide and Truck and all them.
Oh, really? Yeah. And then we'll see. I like doing the one night. Maybe a pre-race one. Like Thursdays or something. But anyway, might as well wrap it up for the night. We're almost at the hour and a half mark anyway. So hope everybody had a good time and listening to the show. Those, I apologize for the technical difficulties. Tam, just check out the we can check out the podcast. Hopefully it come in pretty clear. Does it normally do that, or does it crackle on that too?
It doesn't normally crackle on there, so I'll have to double check it this week because you were in and out a lot, but it might be just your reception.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, I'm running through the mixer. I'm running through. Everything seems to be functioning. Now, I'm running through a mixer in the phone, calling into you, so that's why I think, if anything, it might be in the buffer system. But who knows, maybe Blog Talk Radio is running a little sluggish.
I could be, too.
All our listeners be pounding that server. So, we'll find out, and if it seems to be a podcast, clear on the podcast, I'll have to do it there. Either that or, you know, I'd hate to have to go find a new radio station.
No, I think we're fine. I think it's just with the connections and everything tonight.
Yeah. I think, well, at least Johanna sounded fine. Did I start breaking up late? Was that
yeah.
Early? We were good. Yeah, so it must be a lot of traffic. That happens. All right, everybody. Tune in next week. I think we'll be on next week unless I'm in transit. But we'll keep an eye on the website, garagetalklive.com or facebook.com/garagetalklive, or even, and we'll post it up on the bump and runs and the NBSs, and Tommy, we'll each have it up on our page as well, just to keep everybody up to date. So we'll see what guests we can line up and all that. All right, then.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, so I got Marcos, you have Johnson, and
Kyle
we'll get them all posted up
Montoya,
on our Facebook
I think it was.
Page. Yeah, Kyle Judge took Montoya. Who's Joseph Newgarden or Gadrin? I got so much stuff in the chat, I don't know how to X out of it. Mm-hmm. All righty. See you all next week, everybody. But keep posted, and we'll let you know who's there. Good fun and good racing. Bye now.
See ya.